Good morning. And before we start tossing the word joy and thankful around a lot, I would like to say that it brings me great joy to be with you today. Singing makes me weepy, so just letting you know. Dear Karen, the other day I was at the podiatrist, which is on the other side of town, on the other side of 30, past the cemetery, to the left, and I almost missed it the first time, and I tell you where it's at because I was sitting in the office in the waiting room waiting for the doctor to come in, and I had a view from a very tiny window, sort of like the window you have over there, that size, up high, because at the podiatrist you have to sit way up high so she can get to your feet. I was waiting, and I looked out the window, and I saw a stand of trees. The wind was blowing something not exactly fierce, but persistent. In the forefront of the stand of trees, which I know you would be able to name on the spot, even from the distance and through a tiny window, but which I would never know, were the group with all their new leaves on them. And the wind was tossing them about, and it made me think of two things in rapid succession. First, of the exuberance of young girls wearing flowing skirts for the first time, and how they twirl and bend and thrill at the feel of the fabric, making them feel bigger and lighter and full of joy. The second thought was of young women joining in a circle dance for the benefit of the much taller trees that stood in the middle, but further back. All I could see from the narrow window were the leafless trunks of those trees in the middle. And all phallic symbols aside, in my little reverie, they were the men, and the young women were dancing for them, full of joy and their own desire. And then as I watched the leaves like skirts blowing about in the breeze, I began to think back to my own childhood and being that young girl infatuated with breezy movement when the wind would tickle my legs with long grass or the hem of my own skirt, how my body was my own, and every day I was kind of excited about what new thing I found it could do. Bend over backwards? Yes. Run fast like the wind, maybe only in my mind. Skate, throw a basketball, twist and bend, yes and yes and yes. All these things. I remember when I finally figured out how to swing my leg up over the crook of the small tree in the side yard and I could pull myself up into the tree. I marveled at myself. Just a little bit. I was up there with the big kids, who each had a tree of their own in the corner lot that we had, and we were calling to each other like monkeys in the jungle. Somewhere along the line I grew up. At what point did I stop marveling at the abilities of my limbs to work in conjunction with each other to propel me up, over, and forward, or even backward? At what point did I lose joy in my body because it wasn't her body? How old was I when self-consciousness took over and I lost the ability to even dance like those leaves on the trees? When I looked at those dancing limbs on the trees, I felt the newness of them. The leaves had only recently unfurled themselves and they had that bright green color of youth about them. Untamed and delighted, they reached for each other as if across a trapeze, and I felt myself new again in the watching. I felt myself engaged in a joy I projected on them, and I began to wonder, is it possible to not just project it on them, but to feel it for myself? Is it possible in these days when everything is so ugly to reclaim the beauty of a young leaf's dance and sway in the wind with the music under the stars?
Dear Tina, wow. Ask me something simple, why don't you? I have been feeling this very thing lately. The warmer air, the soft rain, and the awesome thunderstorms, and the colors of spring have never before failed to bring me joy. And this year is different. The spirea bushes that bloom around Mother's Day only brought a ghost of a smile to my lips this year. The toning and reshaping of my body as I relearn regular exercise and yoga feels good. But that spontaneity and that effusiveness that you're talking about that I used to feel too eludes me. Planting my garden brings satisfaction, but not to the depth I used to feel. It feels like there's too much ugly in the way, blocking my access to joy. And I've been wondering what I can do about that, because I know I need the joy, right, for nurturing and support as I work to push back against the ugly. I think you're onto something. In your witnessing of such beauty and grace in those trees and that dance, and in the power it brought you, in your sharing it with me, you found beauty in an unexpected moment and you let it move you out of that ugly. I think this is what Karen Johnston was writing about. She called what you did, revealing beauty, part of our gift to our aching world. And I think there might be an answer here. If it's beyond my capacity at the moment to find joy in the beauty I see for myself, maybe simply appreciating it and sharing it with someone who can is enough for now. This past February, Emma's Revolution played a concert here. They sang about young black lives taken in state violence, about the environmental damage done by fracking, about our country's role in drone warfare, about the difficult choices made by refugees. Hard, hard topics, all of them surrounded by the ugly that has become our national climate. And they were singing. They were singing beautifully, inviting us into a space of creating beauty, infusing the ugly with beauty. It created a space of hope and possibility and shared joy. We sang and we smiled and we remembered that love is greater than fear in the face of the ugly, because they brought beauty into the room. Maybe I've been unable to feel the joy and the beauty I've seen lately because I haven't been able to share it very well. Maybe losing my partner has got me believing I've lost the ability to share it. Huh. There's certainly something amazing in taking the hand of a loved one and saying, I love walking in the misty rain with you. Or, don't the blooms on that bush make you think of the most amazing fireworks you've ever seen? Karen Johnston used plural pronouns in her piece. She wrote that we should find ourselves anew in the beauty and the ugly, not lose ourselves in them. It seems like you did this by sending me your reflection on the dancing leaves and the bodies. And your words helped me recall the beauty dancing within me. I wonder what other surprises we might find together.
Barbara Kingsolver writes, in my own worst seasons, I've come back from the colorless world of despair by forcing myself to look hard for a long time at a single glorious thing. A flame of red geranium outside my bedroom window, and then another, my daughter in a yellow dress, and another, the perfect outline of a full dark sphere behind the crescent moon, until I learned to be in love with my life again. Like a stroke victim retraining new parts of the brain to grasp lost skills, I have taught myself joy over and over again.
Oh, Karen, I think you're right about sharing my reflection on the trees with you. I knew it would reveal something to you that wasn't as clear to me. I knew you would understand, even if I didn't quite have the name for it yet. I'm so grateful for the time we shared last weekend when you traveled so far to join me in my birthday celebration. I think the last time I asked people to celebrate me was on my wedding day, and that, my friend, was more of a we thing than a me thing, as it should be. But last weekend, I asked people to come to my home and celebrate me. Not my daughters, not my husband, not even my cooking or any particular accomplishment. I still haven't teased out exactly why I wanted to center a day around me to make a big deal of my 55th birthday. But instinctively, I knew that something had shifted within me, and I wanted to gather my beloveds close. As you know, the past 2 to 3, maybe 4 to 5, years haven't been exactly joyful, nor even particularly happy for me. I was in a constant state of gray, and nothing save the red of anger permeated my gray bubble where I could see what was going on around me, but not really feel like I was there with people. Depression does this thing to a body. It creates bubble-like moats that keep everything and everyone out, except, I found, rage. With every murder of a black life at the hands of the state came rage and an impotent sorrow that deepened my depression and scuttled my sense that I could be an agent of change in a world gone so awry. Rage and sorrow I had, but joy evaded. Happiness took the back road out of town. Pride bubbled up in the accomplishments of my daughters. But when I had wins of my own, a story published, a well-attended reading, an invite to join a group of writers I admire, I felt unable to burst into any color other than that gray. So the party and the venture to the dunes with you and my family and a short walk along the lake, picking up stones and beach glass with you, these things I did purposefully to reconnect with the natural world, but more importantly, with the people in it. Those words you shared with me, yours and Barbara Kingsolver's, helped me to remember joy is neither random nor manufactured. Joy is found and cultivated and can be something akin to a muscle. While you are relearning your yoga moves, I am relearning blue and green, purple, and even the yellow of Kingsolver's daughter's dress. I remembered that there is nothing like the wind rolling over your head, the waves spraying your ankles, and sometimes your chest, as you search for rocks of myriad hues and shapes and stipples, and even one in the shape of Indiana, which I thought I threw back, but I didn't. Perhaps joy is not the searching for, but the revealing of beauty, be it in the hug of a dear friend or the squeal of surprise when that wave hits your chest. It is remembering and imagining, taking what is and what was and drawing them forward into what could be. But mostly it is looking at what is and saying, ah, yes, I remember. The last couple of days have been hard for the world, for our country, and for our denomination. With the news of the removal from the Paris Accord, but then more personally the news of the death of Jim Key, the UUA moderator, was surprising and painful. While I make no claim to have known him well, I believe he was revealed as goodness embodied, during the latest example of white entitlement crisis in Unitarian Universalism. His ability to listen, change, and act differently when called to was the best example of leadership any of us are likely to see on the national stage anytime soon. I feel the sorrow of this loss for us all, while also seeing the legacy he left, a call to be good, be kind, be joyful, and be willing to shake things up now and again. Your friendship, dearest, has done that for me too. Although neither of us has been in the most joy-inducing places of late, I can look back over our friendship and see what has led us here today, talking about joy and its multifaceted manifestations in a life well-lived, well-examined, and within which is a great capacity for love. So here I am, at your door, on your chancel, thanking you for your friendship and help in finding myself in the space of remembering, seeking, and creating joy and making room for the spontaneous appearances that help light the way through or around the gray.
Thank you for this blessing. I think we humans need one another in so many more ways than we're ever consciously aware of. We need each other to be doorways into those places we can't find on our own. To help each other do what you said just a few minutes ago, remembering and imagining, taking what is and what was and drawing them forward into what can be. But mostly, it's looking at what is and saying, ah, yes, I remember, to reveal the beauty. That is not how I defined joy before today. I thought joy was this thing that came from outside of myself, right, that I could find, not something that could arise from within me because, well, that doesn't seem very possible these days. But now, I remember too. I went to New York City last month to attend the Revolutionary Love Conference. Valerie Kaur opened up the conference. Valerie is an activist and a lawyer of the Sikh faith, in whose words I have found tremendous hope. She has said of this time, "What if this is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? What if our America is not dead, but still waiting to be born?" Valerie opened the conference with those words and with a thesis that it takes three kinds of love to be revolutionary. Love for others, where we can look upon people across difference and recognize them as siblings. Love for opponents, where we can listen to the stories of those who disagree with us and worse, and refuse to hate them because we refuse to be like them, and fight in a way that liberates them too. And love for ourselves, where we can embody in our own lives the wellness and the dignity and the care that we want in the rest of the world. She told us that all three kinds of love were necessary for love to be revolutionary because if we have love only for ourselves, well, that is narcissism. If we have love only for our opponents, we can venture really easily into self-denigration or self-loathing. And if we have love only for others, she says, that's ineffective. And we burn out. She says this is where our movement is right now. We're showing up for each other, we're being in solidarity with the marginalized, and we're already tired. It's unsustainable. She says we have to ground in the depth of a love that includes our opponents and ourselves, as well as those with whom we are in solidarity. So I was looking at videos from the conference while thinking through what I might offer to you to return the blessing of the gift you have given me. And watching Valerie through the frame of this conversation that we're having about joy led me to remember something. When Valerie started talking about her work through the past year, pulling together a team to create this conference about revolutionary love, about love not just as a feeling, but as a moral imperative of commitment and action, she was smiling. She was absolutely beaming. And when she was talking about how we need to include love for ourselves as we work to sustain this movement, she said, "That is why joy is an act of moral resistance." I know this feeling that I am projecting onto Valerie's smile. I know this feeling. I have felt this feeling. I have felt it here. I have felt it meeting with organizers. I have felt it in deepening my analysis with others. I have felt it in creating strategies for the resistance. It's a cycle, right? A feedback loop. Finding the joy in the way we work together as we build a movement of love, and then infusing the joy into that work so that it spreads, so that it becomes an act not only of sustenance, but of moral resistance. This is both how we find the joy and why we need the joy. And I was thinking, maybe we have been working too hard at pushing back the ugly. Don't misunderstand that. There's plenty to be disappointed in, plenty to be outraged at, and there's plenty of work to be done, and we are doing it, to resist the attitude that hate and divisiveness are acceptable ways of being. There are protests to attend, there are letters to write, there are calls to make, there are networks to create and maintain. But I think we have to make room, as does Valerie, within ourselves for that self-love and to allow joy to arise as we do this work. So please keep offering me the glimpses of the beauty you've revealed, because I need you to keep my heart open to the possibility that there is joy, that the beauty can be revealed. I need all of the people who surround me to help me remember that it's in there, just waiting to be surprised out of me by the glimpse of the beauty revealed. Thank you. Thank you.